Welcome, we are in Maseches Tainis, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, in the middle of the page. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, Mishum Rabbi Yehoshua, he made this statement in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua, Ha'over lifnei ateva, one who davens for the tzibur, the chazin, b'yom tova achron shel chag, on the last day of Sukkos, ha'achron maskir, harishon eno maskir. The last one to daven in that morning, which is the Baal Musaf, is going to mention Mashiv Ruach Morid Agoshen. That's when we're going to commence this edition to Shmona Esrei. Harishon, but the one who daven Shachris, Eino Mazkir, is still part of the season up until that Musaf, when we do not mention Mashiv Ruach Morid Agoshen. So Musaf is the transition. B'yom Tov Harishon Shal Pesach, and at the other side of the transition, on the first day of Pesach, Harishon Mazkir, the first, the Baal Shachris, is going to continue to mention Mashiv Ruach Morid Agoshem that began with Musaf of Sukkos, but Ha'achron, but the Baal Musaf, Eino Mazkir, he already is going to omit Mashiv Ruach Morid Agoshem. Now the Gemara asks a very simple question. Hey, Rabbi Yehoshua. The Gemara wants to know, Rabbi Yehuda reported this teaching that Musaf is the transition on Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. There is some confusion as to which Rabbi Yehoshua of Jewish history is he talking about. Ilema Rabbi Yehoshua Demas Nisan, if the Rabbi Yehoshua that is reported by Rabbi Yehuda to have had this tradition is the same one that we encounter in our Mishnah, Ha'amar b'yom tov ha'achron shel chag hu mazkir. But in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehoshua seems to mention that on the Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag, on that last day of Sukkos, that's when we begin reciting Mashiv Ruach Morid Agoshem, without any qualification at all for when that is recited. And therefore it is assumed that the Mishnah must be assuming that it is recited already at Shachris. Whereas here, in this teaching of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua, it seems to be that Mashiv Ruach Morid Agoshem is inserted as of Musaf. Ella Rabbi Yehoshua Debraisa. So maybe the Rabbi Yehoshua that Rabbi Yehuda is reporting is really consistent not with the Tana of our Mishnah known as Rabbi Yehoshua, but a different Tana of Rabbi Yehoshua, the one that emerges in the Braisa that we learned earlier. However, Ha'amar Mishas Hanachoso, but nevertheless, that Rabbi Yehoshua seemed to say that Mashiv Ruach Morid Agoshem is introduced at the time that we complete taking the lulav, Mishas HaNachaso. And there is a dramatic discussion as to what exactly the opinion of Rashi is in interpreting this Gemara relative to the other Gemaras that we have seen. What this means, Mishas HaNachaso. Does Mishas HaNachaso mean that Rabbi Yehoshua's opinion is in the Braisa that the moment that we put down the lulav, which is after performing that mitzvah of Dalid Minim on the seventh day, that is the day that we begin reciting Mashiv Ruach Morid Agoshem, implying it is the seventh, which Rashi seems to indicate in some places, or Mishas HaNachaso, from the last moment that it would have been conceivable to observe the mitzvah of Dalid Minim, and that is the end of the seventh day, bringing us to the eighth day. Both interpretations of the Shita of Rabbi Yehoshua can be consistent with the Gemara's question here. Because the Gemara wants to know how in the world this tradition of Rabbi Yehoshua could be consistent with the one that says the transition takes place at Musaf. The question is either how could it be that it's taking place at Musaf, it's taking place on the seventh day, where the implication above is that it's taking place on the eighth day, or the question could be that no, Bishas HaNachaso means at the end of the seventh day, and even that source, the Braisa is indicating it that it's the eighth day, but without any qualification, we would assume that that eighth day is the eighth day at Shachris. And so therefore, both interpretations of Mishas HaNachaso still maintain the Gemara's question. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the source of this tradition that Rabbi Yehuda has brought us in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua? Then the Gemara says, Visu, and furthermore, Ha Ditanya, that we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Ben Besera. We have another memra of Rabbi Yehuda. This one is in the name of Ben Besera, and that says the following, Over Lifnei Ateva B'yom Tov Ha'achron Shachag, Ha'achron Mazkir. That somebody who takes up the Amud on the last day of Sukkos, the latter one, the one who davens Musaf, is the one who's going to mention it, is the one who's going to be Mazkir, Mashiv Ruach Morid Agoshem. So the Gemara asks, Hey Ben Becerra. This tradition of Rabbi Yehuda, Nem Ben Becerra, which Ben Becerra is he talking about? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becerra, if you want to say it's Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becerra, Ha'omar Basheni Bechag Umaskir. His opinion was that Mashiv Aruch Marad HaGashem is introduced on the second day of Sukkot. So why in the world would we be attributing a statement that relates to the eighth day of Sukkot? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that we can solve both of these questions with the same answer. We have two statements of Rabbi Yehuda. One is a statement in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, which we cannot correlate to any other statement of Rabbi Yoshua. And the other is a statement in the name of Ben Becerra, which we cannot correlate to any other statement of Ben Becerra. So says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the confusion here can be resolved to hey, be Rabbi Yoshua Ben Becerra. Both of these statements of Rabbi Yehuda related to a different Tana, the Tana of Rabbi Yoshua Ben Becerra. Rabbi Yoshua, who was a Tana, he was the Tana that emerges in our Mishnah, lived at the same time as another Rabbi Yoshua. The Rabbi Yoshua of our Mishnah, the one that we are familiar with for in many, many places throughout the Mishnayos, hundreds of statements of Rabbi Yoshua throughout the Mishnayos, that is Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. And that Rabbi Yoshua played major leadership roles in the Jewish people. He was one of the Tanoim that carried out Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai of Yerushalayim. He related to Rabbi Gamliel Anasi. He is the Tana that is mentioned in our Mishnah. At the same time, in the same Tkufa, the Ben Becerra, or the Becerra family, had a number of different members that were also very prominent Tanoim, and one of them was Rabbi Yoshua ben Becerra. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Becerra is the author of the statement that was brought by Rabbi Yehuda, both statements brought by Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, it should read Rabbi Yoshua ben Becerra, that the transition happens at Musaf, and that's not inconsistent with our Mishnah, which seems to imply that the transition may happen at Shacharis. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Becerra is also the author of this statement that Rabbi Yehuda brings in the name of ben Becerra, that a Acharon Mazkir. And that does not contradict Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who mentions that B'Sheni Hu B'Chag, that's when we do this transition. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, hey, Rabbi Yoshua ben Becerra. So then the Gemara wonders, well, how come sometimes we call him Rabbi Yoshua, and sometimes we call him ben Becerra? Because those are the two titles, those are the two names that Rabbi Yehuda mentions. So the Gemara says, Zimnim dekarilei b'shmei. Sometimes Rabbi Yehuda called him by his own name, just called him Rabbi Yoshua. Zimnim dekarilei b'shmei de'aba. And sometimes he called him by his father's name, just as the son of Becerra, Ben Becerra. V'ha mekamei delismichuhu. The name that we use, that is just Ben Becerra, that was what was used before he was receiving of smicha. The halibasar de l'smichuhu, but after he received his smicha, so then we call him Rabbi Yoshua. But it's all the same person, and that individual is distinct from both the Rabbi Yoshua that shows up in our Mishnah and in our Braisa, as well as the Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra that shows up in the course of the Gemara's discussion, who says that we begin on the second. The Rishonim do discuss why we assume that we should delay the reciting of Mashiv Aruch Moreh Hagashem to Musaf altogether. Tosas raises this question. A number of others raise this question as well. One of the answers that's found in the Talmid HaRamban is that it takes until the tefillah of Musaf for a person to summon the level of focus and seriousness that is required in this transition. That as we have mentioned, Mashiv Aruch Moreh Hagashem is not simply an addition that's added to the Shemona Esrei. It is indicative of a larger appreciation we have of the Ribbono Shel'Olam's role in running the world. And therefore, that's not something that we do at night when we're perhaps involved in a shorter tefillah. It's not something we do at Shacharis when we're just kind of getting moving and getting going. But since we're all going to be collected at the time of Musaf, and that's a time of greater concentration, greater focus, we know that in our own shuls, very often Musaf is when you put up the bigger chazan. Musaf is when more people are in shul. Musaf is when more people are focused. And therefore, that is the proper tefillah to begin, including Mashiv Aruch Moreh Hagashem, and also to be as inclusive as possible with as many people as possible in the minyan, so that that transition takes place. The Rishami also offers other reasons. We don't make the transition at Maariv. Not everyone is at Maariv. And we don't do so at Shacharis, because even though perhaps the attendance at Shacharis is significantly more than Ma'ariv. People who show up at Shacharis and see it that it has begun will assume that it must have started at the Ma'ariv before. Even if you didn't make it to Ma'ariv, if you show up at Shacharis and you see that there is a Yalav V'Yavo being added. So if you know that you did not include that in the Ma'ariv before, so you know that you owe a tefillah. And that will be a makeup that will be done Shelo Kedin. And so therefore, we do not include it then, as we did not actually start it the Ma'ariv before. And we don't start it at Shacharis, again, because we're worried that people will assume, who came for Shacharis, that we started it at Ma'ariv. Therefore, we begin the recitation of Mashiv Aruch, Morid HaGoshem, together at Tfilas Musaf. Tana, says the Gemara quotes a Braisa. B'ta'lu v'rucho, slo chayivu chachamim lahazkir. The chachamim were not, did not obligate us to mention Tal, which is dew, and ruchos, which are winds, also part of the weather systems that help run the world. Those two elements are not required to be included in our Shmona Esrei. In Bala Haskir, but if one wants to mention them, so Mazkir, it's permitted to mention them. So Rashi addresses the fact that so the concept of mentioning Tal, that's not a requirement. The concept of mentioning Ruach is also not a requirement. So we know there are many Minhagim that do not mention Tal at all over the course of the year, while others do. But everybody includes Ruach in the Tefillah, or in the mention, in the Hazkara, of Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGoshem, even though the Gemara is saying quite explicitly that is not required. So there's a distinction between different types of Ruach. The Ruach that we mention in conjunction with Geshem is a Ruach that helps facilitate the Geshem in being much more effective. And therefore, we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu not just for the presence of Geshem and for the quality of Geshem, but we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for all of the atmospheric conditions that ensure that that Geshem provides the world with the sustenance that it needs. V'tal minolon delo miyatzar. And from, how do we know, Vital, how do we know that do never stops? How do we know that? So, Dechsev, because the Torah tells us, the Navi tells us, Vayomer Elio Atishbi mi Toshavi Gilad El Achav, that when Elio, a Navi, from the people who live in Gilad, was talking to Achav, who was a king that had gone off of the Derech of Hashem, so Eliyahu said to Achav, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Amadi Lefonov, that I swear to you, by the life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Yisrael, that I stand before, Im Yihyeh Hashanim Ha'ele Tal Umotar Ki Im Lefi Divari, that there is not going to be any rain or any dew during this period of time, Ki Im Lefi Divari, except according to my word. Viksiv, and then it says, Lech Hir'e Es Acha V'etna Matar Al Pnei Ha'adam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Eliyahu, go tell Achav that now I'm going to send rain on the earth. V'ilu Talo Kamar Lei, but look what happened. Initially, the oath said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Achav through Eliyahu that I'm withholding rain, I'm withholding Tal, I'm withholding dew. And then when it comes to restoring it, V'lutal lo kamar lei, he doesn't mention the dew at all. My taima, what's the reason why tal is not included in what Elio describes to Achav is going to be restored at the end of this drought? D'lo me'atzer. The reason is because it was never withheld in the first place. So there's nothing to restore since it was never withheld. So says the Gemara, v'chi mi'achar d'lo me'atzer, if it was never withheld, Elio ishtabu elam alei. So then why did Elio make this shvua to Achav that not only Geshem wouldn't fall, but that Tal wouldn't fall as well? So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamarle, this is what Elio really said to Achav. Afilu Tal debracha nami lo asi. When he was telling Achav what was not going to come, so rain was not going to come as part of the drought, and Tal of bracha was not going to come as part of the drought. So if Tal Shel Bracha is not coming as part of the drought, then when everything was restored at the conclusion of the drought, how come Tal is not mentioned? Ulahadre Litaal de Bracha. So then why did not HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring back the Tal of bracha as well. Why isn't it mentioned in the second pasuk? Says the Gemara, Mishim de lo minkura milsa, because it's not really discernible which tal is the tal of bracha and which tal isn't the tal of bracha. And therefore, if Eliyahu would have told Achav that the tal of bracha is not returning, then Achav simply told Eliyahu that that tal was never restricted in the first place. And so therefore, that is the resolution of these psukim. Says the Gemara, now to address the ruchos. Ruchos minolan delo me'atzrei. How do we know that ruach, that wind, is never withheld from the world? So Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, says Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, to Amar Akra, the pasuk says, in Zechariah, the pasuk says, ki ke'arba ruchos ha-shamayim peirashti eschem ne'um Hashem. Like the four ruchos of the shamayim, of the heavens, I have spread you out. This is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My kamar lohu. So what is Hashem telling the Jewish people? Ilei mahachi kamar lohu. If you want to say that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, that God was telling the Jewish people, divitar divnu be'arba ruchei de'alma, that I have spread you out to the four corners of the world, that ruchos here refers to corners. So ihachi, if that's the case, ke'arba, why does it say that it's going to be like the four? Be'arba mi'boyle, it should say in the four, be'arba, to the four different corners of the world. Elehachi kamar, rather, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them. Kishem she'i'ef shalo olam below ruchos, just like the world cannot exist without wind, without any sort of movement in the atmosphere, then the weather patterns have too intense of a influence on each particular area. The world requires wind in order to be able to maintain a sense of balance in its atmosphere. Kach i'eshar le'olam b'lo Yisrael. So too it is impossible for the world to exist without Klal Yisrael. And so therefore, Klal Yisrael will be spread out around the world, and it will be able to make an impact. It will able to be create a presence in all four areas, all four directions of the world. The Maharal explains how important this Gemara is in terms of understanding the role and the shaychus of Klal Yisrael to the rest of the world. He explains the concept she esha la'olam below ruchos doesn't just relate to the actual weather of wind. But rather, we know that when we talk about the existence and presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ruach Elokim, Merachefes al Pnei Amayim, the fact that we are created with a Ruach. Ruach refers to that which animates. Ruach refers to the fact that the world is not designed to exist in stagnation. The world is designed to develop, to evolve. The world is designed for things to happen and things to occur and events to unfold and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence to become increasingly manifest. And just like the entire world can't exist without wind, without this dynamic element of the way in which the world runs, so too Klal Yisrael is core to the existence of the world, and explains the Maharal that Klal Yisrael has relevance and resonance for the entire world, towards the entire world. That we think that what it means to be an Am HaNivchar is that we shelter ourselves in one particular space, and that we exist independent of the rest of the Olam. Says the Maharal that no, you see here that Arba Ruchos, that we have shaychus to everything that's going on in the entire world, and that we have responsibilities towards the existence, towards the kiyum of the world. Whether those responsibilities relate to our spiritual status in general, in order to create the environment and the atmosphere that the Ribbono Shel Olam relates to the rest of the world in a positive way, or whether or not that relates to our actual role in caring and in impacting things that are going on throughout the world with the values and ideals that shape a Torah hashkafa. Both are relevant in terms of understanding Klal Yisrael's role in the world.